TBRI.
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 TOVD.
TBRI.
TBRI, Trust-Based Relational Intervention.
TBRI is an attachment-based
trauma-informed intervention
that is designed to meet the complex needs
of vulnerable children.
TBRI uses empowering principles
to address physical needs,
connecting principles for attachment needs,
and correcting principles to disarm fear-based behaviors.
While TBRI is based on years of attachment, sensory processing, and neuroscience research,
the heartbeat of TBRI is connection.
Hello, and welcome back to the TBRI podcast. You're listening to Season 6, Episode 8. On this show, we talk all about trust-based relational intervention, or TBRI. We talk about different elements of the model itself, and also about how TBRI is applied in various systems of care and practice. I'm Emily Pickett, and I have the pleasure of introducing today's conversation. Today, Troy McPeak joins us on the podcast to share a little bit about his work as a training and consultation specialist, as well as his journey to TBRI. Troy has been on the podcast before, so if you haven't listened to his previous episodes, be sure to go back and listen to those in season one and in season five. This is part of our mini series with the members of our team who train during TBRI practitioner training sessions and who also travel globally to teach, learn from, and support organizations who are implementing TBRI on a systemic level. Thanks so much for listening, and please enjoy this conversation with our host, Sarah Mercado and Troy McPeak.
Hello, Troy. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. It does feel like morning, although I guess it's not that early, but anyway,
it's still morning.
It is morning. Would you introduce yourself and just share, I know like you have some geographic regions, but you also serve a very specific population for us. So would you share with our listeners just a little bit about which areas you serve?
Yes, ma'am. So I am in Texas. I live outside of Austin, and I serve juvenile justice. I support juvenile justice specifically in and around the state of Texas, and now soon to expand into Pennsylvania, Chicago, and some other areas as well. So supporting
awesome.
Different, also supporting different organizations in like the Houston area, Fort Bend area, and mm-hmm. Beaumont area as well. So
awesome. Yeah, Troy is our juvenile justice guru as far as TBRI goes. So we get any of those questions, they come straight to you. All right. Have you always been a natural at TBRI, or is this something you had to kind of work at?
Well, that's a loaded question. I think I innately always wanted to give my best self to the kids that are vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in juvenile justice, coming from my background out in Southern California, right? And working with group homes out there. But I won't necessarily claim that my skills were as refined as they are now, right? Now that the last 7 years, we've been just really entrenched in TBRI and allowed it just to be infused in my personal and professional life. So naturally, yeah. Yes, I've always wanted to connect because my why is, you know, my purpose, I feel like, is to help these kiddos that don't have the type of support that, say, mine do, or that even I did growing up. But yeah, iron sharpens iron. So now that we've got TBRI, it makes things a whole lot easier.
Amen. One of the things I often ask, you know, groups that I'm training is like, who signed up to help, right? Like we all signed up to help. And then I think back to the early days before I knew TBRI or about attachment or trauma or anything. I'm like, oh, I don't think I was doing much helping, but my intentions were always good. And
right,
iron sharpens iron. I love it.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a principle, favorite principle, or one you lean on the most because it is most natural to you?
Yeah, the connecting principles, because again, with the engagement strategies, right, it really allows us to be intentional. Mm-hmm. And now having kind of the context and the why behind providing, you know, soft eyes or healthy touch or, you
right.
know, all of the things involved in the engagement strategies, it just really, you know, allows us to be very intentional about connecting with the kids. And I found it to be, you know, it shortens the gap, right? Relationships are built organically and naturally, right? But it just really allows us to shorten that length of time where it takes to really build meaningful relationships with the kids.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think for people that are, that, you know, struggle with connecting, I don't know who that would be. It wasn't me for sure. But those engagement strategies give us a place to start. Like, oh, right. This is actually like a little blueprint for things I can do to help build connection. And I can pick the one that's least intimidating for my dismissive attachment style. And so I love the engagement strategies as well, although they're not always easy for me.
Right. So let me ask you, what is your least favorite engagement strategy?
My least favorite engagement?
Or most difficult, I'll say.
Healthy touch?
I figured.
What's your most difficult?
Probably the eye contact, just because I have to be mindful of, you know, the perception of me, right? Especially if I'm outside in the sun and I have this kind of snarl look, even though I might not be mad or upset or anything, but, you know, my eyes sit deep into, you know, my head. Yeah. So it looks like I can be snarling at somebody or look upset or angry. So I always have to be mindful of that, you know, part of my perception.
There you go. Troy, I think you're the first person ever to flip the mic on me like that. You caught me off guard.
I had to.
Couldn't help it. So buried within our, I'm going to reclaim my spot and be the boss here. Okay. I'm just teasing. Buried or not buried, but within our principles, we have our strategies, right? Would you share, which we kind of talked about it, so not within the engagement strategies, because we just talked about this, but which strategy is easiest for you and which is hardest?
Well, I'm gonna go hardest, right? So the mindfulness piece is probably the hardest for me, in learning what drives my responses to stress, even though it was the most eye-opening at the same time, it's still very hard to be, you know, because I've been conditioned to respond to stress certain ways based on how I've grown up in the past, right? So where my first inclination to respond to stress might be very aggressive, right? I have to be mindful of that and let, you know, continue to remind myself, look, it's not about you, Troy, or your, you know, your bruised ego in this moment, right? So take a couple breaths, think before you say something that you are going to regret that might end up severing this relationship between you and, you know, this kiddo or whomever I'm engaging with.
Yeah, I feel like during our trainer series, so our last interview that we've been able to do, you've been hard to catch, just kidding. We've had a lot of conversations about mindfulness and like mindfulness into our own fear. So like you said, like when things start going bad, like I want to jump in and catch it and bring it back down and, you know, or our histories or any of that. So it's interesting because mindfulness seems to come up a lot. What's the easiest for you?
I'm just going to go back to the engagement strategies, right?
Even though
I work in, you know, very high restrictive environments, right, where touch was not necessarily an option, or you know, as staff or JSOs or supervisors in facilities, we're always pretty hands-off unless we were hands-on, meaning in a level 4 restraint or keeping the kid or the environment safe. The healthy touch, you know, giving the kid a fist bump, handshake, right? Tap on the shoulder, something like that. That's always been really easy. Just, you know, to reaffirm that me and the kid, I got you. I'm here. Yeah. Right. No matter what's going on in the midst of chaos, me and you, I'm gonna walk here, you know, through it with you. So the healthy touch is the easiest.
So I'm gonna take a quick left turn and then we're gonna get back on course. But do you think for other people in juvenile justice, the engagement strategies would be the easiest? Because to me, when I worked in juvenile justice, that would have been the hardest,
right?
Because we were so hardcore about boundaries and you know, I would have been confused about how do I even do these things, right? Do you, that's a really incredible natural thing that you have for the environment that you served.
Yeah. And we, you know, I spend a lot of time just talking about what healthy touch looks like, right?
Yeah.
Because with the population we serve, where you can have upwards, you know, up to 93% of the young ladies that come into juvenile justice have experienced, you know, some form of sexual abuse, right? Healthy mm-hmm. touch can be a very sensitive, you know, thing for them and, you know, yeah. for the staff as well, who are also dealing with their own, you know, issues. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have policies that literally say, do not touch kids, right? Right? So we spend a lot of time. This doesn't mean we're going around bear hugging kids or giving, you know, frontal hugs to the female residents or the male residents, right? I really limit it to fist bump, handshake, symbolic touch from across the room, a pat on the shoulder, and we just leave it at that. But yeah. I also give, you know, several examples on, you know, unhealthy touch, right?
Right.
And in inappropriate boundaries, because you don't want to start to blur those lines and be, right. you know, victim to some type of, you know, investigation for a PREA right. or, you know, A&E yeah. investigations and things like that. Yeah. So yeah, we walk a fine line in this field, but it's so meaningful and so impactful. And
right.
the kids that we serve that have been deprived of touch, right, are the forms of touch that they've received have been harmful. They absolutely need it.
Right? Yeah, they need
find it.
It. Right. And they don't know how to do it.
Exactly.
So we have an opportunity to teach and coach. Are you willing to share a time with us that you needed the redo?
That I needed the redo?
Mm-hmm.
How many times? I'll say, you know, in my personal life, right? So even outside of work, right? We talk about TBRI being transformative, and I always talk about it, right? Help me be a better, you know, father, a better husband, all the things, right? So when COVID first hit, my son was struggling, and this is my straight A student, my younger son was mm-hmm. struggling, and I caught his grades, and, you know, it wasn't bad, right? So the conversation was one that I probably would have received from my grandfather with a lot of profanity, right? And
right.
I'm really just laying the hammer down to him, right? And he was struggling with this particular assignment, and it brought him to tears. Like, I was
very
very animated, amped up, right? It was a negative version of Coach Troy, just super
right.
over the top, right? And just really getting on him about, but, you know, when I went into my room, I told myself, I said, Troy, you got to make this right,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it brought my son to tears, and I can see the terror in his eyes. Now, mind you, we're literally the kids' whole lives got, I mean, the whole world got flipped upside down, right? So now
right.
all the kids that have been, you know, in a social environment, being taught in person, are now at home trying to navigate these MacBooks and doing it without, you know, mm-hmm. or with very little instruction. So he suffered because he is a very sociable kid, and he's very, you know, studious. He's a great student and all of that. So me, I went to worst first, like, oh my God, your future, you're gonna end up in prison like the kids,
right?
right? So all of that was coming, you know, up to my mind. So anyhow, I took my son right downstairs, and I have, like, I operate off three different calendars. I have the one on my phone, I have the one on my laptop, and then I have one that I have to write everything down. That's how I keep everything organized,
okay.
right? I'm kind of really, really anal about that, right? But I showed him my calendar, and it's color coordinated, right, with all the things. And I told him, you know, sometimes, you know, I get overwhelmed because I work a lot, right? And
mm-hmm.
I always have 2-3 jobs. I said, but this is how I keep everything in line. And I said, you know what, when I get stressed out and overwhelmed, so we walked, I grabbed my car keys and we walked out to my truck, and I did, you know, several laps around the neighborhood. We rolled the windows down, right? And I let them see the wind blow through this long, luscious hair.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But we just talked about doing deep breathing, right? I said,
yeah.
this is all I do. I listen to some slow music, right? Some oldies, but goodies.
Yeah.
And I just breathe in this
yeah.
air, and it helps me realign, right? Sarah, do you know this was probably one of the most impactful moments that I've had with my son? So
mm-hmm.
I give him a big hug after we get back to the house. I said, look, I love you, man, and I'm sorry. I did not mean to yell at you like that, but you have to understand the importance of staying, right, the course, right, and staying
mm-hmm.
organized. And even in the midst of all this work, you have to figure out how to organize. And if you need help, come to me, come to your mom, and we're going to help you. So my wife sent me a text message that next morning as he went to school. Right. And it read, tell Dad I love him. Because of him, I was able to get that done. Right.
Oh, come
so that,
on.
You know, I don't like to get all soft and mushy or anything, but for me as a father, right, being able to lend that type of support for my son was everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I got it wrong the first time. But the beauty about TBRI is that self-reflection, right? Mm-hmm. And when we have a severance in the relationship, that repair piece,
right?
And it's the same in the juvenile justice arena, right? When we have an incident, a heightened incident that results in us having to put hands on a kid, what are we going to do to use this as a platform to help this kid grow, right?
Yeah.
To help our relationship. So we always talk about correcting, right? Through connection, right? Or connecting as we correct. So that repair piece is so impactful, right?
It is so impactful. It's just incredible to think about, like, my younger self, and I'm about to ask you about your younger self, but how prideful I was and how of that I was the adult and this was the child. And even if I made a mistake, that didn't matter. But also the expectation that I had on myself to be perfect was daunting, right? So like this idea of the redo for us is so helpful. If you could tell your younger version of yourself, you know, just learning TBRI, maybe struggling, maybe doing just fine. If you could tell them something right now, what would you tell them?
Well, I think you just kind of hit the nail on the head. The idea of having to be perfect. So coming back from TBRI, you know, practitioner training, a lot of eyes were on us as the new practitioners, right, on the floor, and what does this look like, right? So wanting to get every situation right, you know, and that's just not possible, period, right? So I would go back and tell myself, don't beat yourself up, one, when things don't go, you know, 100% according to plan, and then allow yourself grace and the ability to fail forward, right? And by failing forward, that means reflecting back on what went south, right? And then doing your due diligence to do that repair piece.
It's really, really so important. It just is. And I'm glad we're here now. And I think our younger selves are hopefully forgiving us for being so hard on ourselves. So
absolutely.
Okay. Are you ready? I've got some rapid fire questions for you.
Rapid fire. Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it. Favorite food.
I'm a steak guy, and most specifically Perry Steakhouse. They have a bacon wrapped filet that is just to die for. And they put crab meat on top as well. Oh my goodness. The most.
Where's Perry's?
Perry's. There's one in the Domain, and then there's one downtown off 7th Street.
Okay. Okay. Coffee or tea?
I'm a tea guy.
What's your favorite kind of tea?
Just sweet tea.
Oh, iced tea.
Iced tea, yes, ma'am.
Okay, iced tea, sweet tea. Texas sweet tea. Walk-up song or theme song?
Oh, man. I would go the instrumental. It's a song called Here I Go by Mystical.
Okay.
But just the instrumental. It's just that music, and it just gets you into kind of whatever you're focused on, just a trend, just whatever you're focused on. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Vacation spot.
My wife and I love the Bahamas. So the Bahamas, anywhere with turquoise water. And pina colada.
Amen. Turquoise water and pina coladas. I don't think we could go wrong. Favorite animal?
Favorite animal? My favorite animal would probably be, I guess, my little Yorkie poo named Tank. His name is Tank. Darren makes fun of me because I have a Yorkie poo named Tank.
I have a hard time seeing this, but you're going to have to share a picture with me next time I see you.
I got you.
Yorkie poo. That was completely unexpected. I might need a minute to regulate.
Which is crazy because I've never been really a dog person ever since I was a kid. I had a Rottweiler that passed.
Yeah.
And then I cried. And so I, you know, the dismissive part of me said, I'll never love another animal again because I don't want to feel this again. Right.
Yeah.
So Tank is the first dog that I've let kind of into the house and really, you know, he's a part of the family. So
how much does Tank weigh?
How much does my foot weigh? I don't know. Maybe 5 pounds.
That little?
Maybe. He's small. Gosh. Okay. 10 pounds, maybe.
So is Tank the boss of the house or your daughter?
Oh, no, not at all. Amaya is always going to be the boss of the house. As much as I would like to say it's dad, but my daughter's definitely the boss.
I wonder. All right. Favorite sports team. And this one might break my heart, but I'm okay. I'm ready.
I am a Raiders fan, born into the Los Angeles Raiders. And they've been breaking my heart for the last 20 years.
Yeah, I was going to ask how y'all are doing this year, but I'll give you a break.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. We did beat the Broncos, though, so I get to give. So Amanda Purvis beat me in fantasy, but we beat the Broncos.
Well, Troy, a couple of years ago, I would have said that is a major feat, but I think we just saw Miami beat the Broncos by like 50 points.
Yeah, I put up like 70 points. I was crazy.
All right. Favorite hobby?
Favorite hobby? Just spending time with my family, creating memories. And it doesn't necessarily matter what, right? It could be at the park with my little girl. It could be on the Bahamas snorkeling with, you know, with my family, right? Yeah. Just creating memories that are going to last a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Troy, thanks again for being back on the podcast. I look forward to having you back again sometime.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sarah and Emily. Thank you guys for everything you guys are doing. These podcasts are amazing.
The TBRI podcast is produced by the Care and Purpose Institute of Child Development at TCU. To learn more about TBRI and the resources mentioned in this episode, please visit child.tcu.edu/podcast.